All right. Speaking of rowdy, man, this crowd came ready, I think. Jesus, are you ready?
Yeah.
Amen. So Lisa and I used to live in a little town called Aledo, and it's just west of Fort Worth. And then just west of there, another, I don't know, 10 miles or so is Weatherford. And it's a neat little community. And then just west of that's Brock, where Lisa's brother still lives. He's got a real beautiful place. He's got like a private lake. He has 100 acres in the lake. I don't know how many acres are in that lake. And so he loves it. He can hunt and fish out there. So we're on the way to see him one day. And just outside of Weatherford, there's a big manufacturer, and they manufacture like water bottles for, you know, that go on the bikes. And on the side of the building was this huge logo, and on the logo it said hydrate or die. And at the risk of being blunt tonight, that's really my whole message, and it's so that, man, the applause meter was almost enough to where I could just say amen, close up your Bibles, every head bowed. Hydrate or die, and there's truth in that. We know that there's truth in that. You got to have water to live. Man, our body's two-thirds water. The earth is two-thirds water. But you know, when we experience thirst, we're already a little bit in trouble. I mean, physically, you already should have had enough water going in to replace what's coming out. So 1%, at 1% dehydrated, we start to feel thirsty. By the time you hit 3%, you're mentally in a fog. And from what I'm reading about thirst, 75% of the adults in this room are dehydrated. And you know what one of the first symptoms is? Mental fog.
Yeah.
You can't think right.
Yeah.
If you're thirsty. And get this, by the time you hit 10 to 15%, we need to wheel you down the hospital and stick an IV in you to get you pumped back up. You know what? That's no way to live physically, and it's certainly no way to live spiritually. Now here, I want to stop here for just a second. How we look at the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives makes a huge difference in whether we stay hydrated spiritually. Because how many of you know, you can't live long without water.
Hello.
Can't live long without water. I don't know, some people say 3 days, other people may have lasted longer than that. The point is, it's just, if you stop drinking anything, if you stop taking any liquid in, you are not gonna be long in this life. So what makes a difference is whether we see the Holy Spirit, who is typified in the Word a lot of times as water. You know, out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. There, salvation will be a well in you springing up into salvation. We're gonna draw water out of the wells of salvation with a bucket of joy. I mean, that's basically what the Old Testament says. So the Holy Spirit's typified by water. And if we see our experience with the Holy Spirit as an event, something that happened at a point in time, we're going to die thirsty. But if we see our interaction with the Holy Spirit, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with him as a person of the Godhead with whom we relate, if we see that as a lifestyle, then we live a healthy lifestyle because we stay hydrated. Now watch this. Let me contrast two things. In Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you remember Acts chapter 2, verse 1? They were all together in one place in one accord. One. That's a very important thing. We're all together in one place in one accord. Kind of like tonight. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is a very interesting paradox to me. And I think it's one of the greatest paradoxes in Christianity, that when we find the Lord Jesus, then we start to seek him. Do you understand? When we find him, we start to seek him. When we drink of him, we begin to get thirsty for him. When we eat of him, we begin to get hungry. So there's something about we have him, and yet we need him. We have the Holy Spirit because the scripture says in Colossians that the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell in him. The fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell in him bodily. In other words, he was like wall-to-wall God on the inside. He was a carrier of everything that God has and everything that God is, because he was the God-man, and he was our prototype, wasn't he? Yeah. Okay? He was a prototype because guess what? You now, if you are born again, the Spirit of God doesn't just come to dwell in you. You are one spirit with the Lord. That is one scary, heavy truth. I don't mean scary in the way of being afraid, but I mean it's so wild to think that you are one with him, because his spirit is his basically his personality. What a truth. So they were all filled, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is another paradox to me, that the Holy Spirit as God, because the Holy Spirit is God, one of the attributes of deity is that its deity is everywhere. He's everywhere present. What's the right word? His omnipresence, thank you, Bible scholars. His omnipresence, all the Kara students said amen. His omnipresence basically means this. He is not any place any more than any other place. Omnipresence. So how can somebody who cannot be any place any more than he is any other place be poured out? And yet the scripture says, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. We'll get back to that later, hopefully. So in Acts chapter 4, lots of persecution going on. People are generally down on what they're not up on. Did I say that right? I did. They're generally down on what they're not up on. And in Acts chapter 4, they're starting to feel the heat and pressure of the religious establishment. They don't know what's going on. They feel like they're losing power. They feel like this new group is starting to take over. And so there's an account of a refilling of the Holy Spirit. So this is Acts chapter 4, obviously is just a couple of chapters after Acts chapter 2. Yeah. And when they had prayed, this is the same group, right? When they had prayed, that's something Spirit-filled people ought to do. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Here they are again, back in one place in one accord. The place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and this is like earthquake-style shaking. This is not a little. Did you feel that vibration? Did you feel that vibe? This is like, man, the rafters are shaken. We were staying out at the Marriott. What is it? Marriott Golf, and it's the Marriott that's right there by Texas Motor Speedway, and Buc-ee's. Okay. And Buc-ee's. Everybody say yes and amen for Buc-ee's. First time I'd ever been. It's a life-changing event. Buc-ee's was there making a personal appearance on July 4th. So we got to meet Buc-ee's. If you follow me on Facebook, if we're friends, then you saw the whole family got to meet Buc-ee. And I mean, this is a spiritual experience. And then Pastor Robert Morris walks out of the restroom, and we got to talk to Buc-ee and Pastor Robert all in the same trip. So let's just give Jesus glory. Anyway, I don't know what that means. when they gathered, the place where they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I thought they were already filled with the Holy Spirit. Now they're filled again with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know the guy who wrote this was a doctor. He's a scientist, so he's going to be precise. And if they were filled over there and now they're filled over here, if chapter 2 was filled, chapter 4 was filled again, and watch this. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Man, that's awesome. So they spoke with other tongues, languages that they had never learned. And then they're speaking the word of God with boldness, and that could, the word of God could be a prophetic word that's come out not of a person's mind or Bible study. It could be something directly from the Spirit, or it could be that this was just like Peter got up and started preaching from the word on the day of Pentecost. The point is, when people get filled, something happens. When people get filled, something happens. One of the things that draws us into the presence of the Holy Spirit is we just get hungry and thirsty for Him. We get hungry for thirsty. And you know what? That whole idea, that concept messes with some people because they think, well, I got the Holy Spirit when I got born again. So there can't be anything subsequent to it. But you know, there are a lot of Pentecostal people that point back to 1962 when they spoke in tongues. And they say, well, I've been there, done that. But you know what? It's either an event or a lifestyle. If it's an event, you'll die thirsty. If it's a lifestyle, you'll stay filled. So this is basic Pentecostal theology right here. There's one initial filling, but there are many refillings. Okay? Why? Why? Why do we need constantly to hydrate? Why do we need constantly why do we constantly need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's literally because you leak. Hebrews chapter 2, listen, Hebrews chapter 2 is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Word of God. And it says, therefore. How many of you know when you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's? Okay, so we'll talk about that. But he says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away from it. Why is he saying therefore? Well, because in chapter 1, which we do not have time to get to, in chapter 1, he's basically said, you know, in the Old Testament, God spoke to us through prophets, but now he's spoken to us through his Son. Right. And then he proceeds to tell us that the Son is better than the prophets, the Son is better than the angels. Therefore, because this word that we're talking about, the gospel, the truth about God's grace, because of his message, we've got to pay closer attention to it because it didn't come through angels and it didn't come through prophets. It came through God, came through the Son. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to it than what we have heard. Okay, this is one of the biggest traps that the enemy lays for God's people, is the whole idea that I have heard that. Well, I heard that, and here's what happens. Because we heard it, and we heard it again, we give ourselves credit for having applied it. Okay? It's kind of like, you know, if you lived in the desert and I brought a huge water pipeline right out to your house, and I said, you'll never have to thirst again. You'd still have to go out and tap that thing. So when we talk about being filled, we talk about being thirsty, we talk about being hungry for the Lord, it's not because we're trying to get him to be someplace he's already not or get him to give us something he hadn't already given us. But the fact is, without faith, you don't make a connection to what God has already provided. You don't draw anything out of the well. And you're thirsty? Well, that's crazy. You've got the well. The water's in the well. God already gave you the well. He gave you a bucket to put down the well. All you have to do is draw on what God has already put on the inside of you. So we've got to watch the whole, I've heard that. Because I can tell you this, to the hungry man, every bitter thing is sweet. If we get hungry, it doesn't matter who preaches. If they're preaching the word, we can shout, we can dance, we can say amen. And we've got to watch it lest we drift away from it. Drift away, literally there are two translations possible here. And most translations do pick drift away. But the same Greek word gives us this implication that a cracked vessel. So in other words, God knows that we leak, and we need to understand that we leak or we won't hydrate. For since this message was declared by angels and proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. Now the message he's talking about here that came through an angelic mediator was the old covenant. Okay, so we don't have time to jump into that. So, but everybody that transgressed that law, there was retribution. So he says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? In other words, the message that the Son brought us, we could easily let it drift by us, or we could let it leak out of us if we're not careful. And if we do that, we're doing it by neglecting this salvation that Jesus taught us about. It was declared to us first by the Lord. It was attested to us by those who heard. Thank you. While God also bore witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. In other words, God confirmed over and over again in the life of Jesus through the words and works of the apostles and even through you, disciples, he confirms the word with signs following. It would be pretty dumb of us to take such a supernatural thing that was backed up by the moving of the Holy Spirit and just set it on a shelf and go, oh, well, I've heard that. Okay? I've been there, done that. Event or lifestyle? See, that's the choice for us. So that leads us to this question. What about right now? I'm talking to you. I have to ask myself that question too. What about right now? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit right now? Okay. I have the Holy Spirit. I'm one with the Holy Spirit. But you realize I still need a fresh infilling. And here's a lot of times how we can discern that. It's a matter of what we're hungry for, what we're thirsting for, and what we give our attention to. And think about this. This goes back to just your thought life. I mean, if 3 days pass by and you haven't had a conversation with the Lord, I would say you're probably distracted. And I would say since the Lord is over here and your distraction is taking you over here, you probably are not looking at the right thing. Because if we've been risen with Christ, according to Colossians chapter 3, if we've been risen with him, then we need to seek those things which are above, not the things which are on the earth. True. Now, I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about you have to try to do this. But I'm just saying it's just a matter of our heart and what's really in our heart. I have to renew my mind. I have to make my body, mind, my spirit. But in that training, it's the concept of when my mind wanders over here, I'm going to bring it back over here and put it back in the Lord. What about now? Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, obviously in more words. It said, be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. You know what? I would dare say that if you really are, if your mind is being renewed and your thoughts are here and you're in fellowship and with God all the time, you'll probably stay out of most trouble. Kenneth Hagin, said this: by not maintaining a constant experience of being filled to overflowing with the Spirit, many times Christians go through problems and face trials in life that they wouldn't have had to face if they were filled up with the Spirit. Isn't that true? Fill in the blank, class. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the... People make different kinds of decisions when they're under the influence. They make different kinds of decisions. They make dumb decisions depending on what they're under the influence of. But what about if we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit more often? See, here, this comes back to the paradox. If listen, and I believe this is true. I don't have to teach my spirit the word. I have to renew my mind to what's already in my spirit, because my spirit already has the word. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. That's the same spirit that inspired the writers to pen the words that we have now as the Bible. So my spirit doesn't lack anything. I'm complete in Christ. But it's my brain. Tell him I'll get back to him just a bit. It's my brain that has to be renewed. Otherwise, my brain wants to go off and do what my flesh says it wants to do. And how many of you know there's one vote against you, there's one vote for you? You have the deciding vote. Come on, somebody. The devil doesn't want to see you succeed. He would like to kill you if he could. So he's voted against you. But how many of you know the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Oh, yeah. That spirit that delivered us from legalism and ritualism and the law, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, have already voted for you. All creation is simply awaiting you saying which one of these sides you're going to choose. I have set before you blessing and cursing. I've set before you life and death. Therefore, choose that you may live. Hallelujah. Staying filled is a choice. It's a choice. And it's your choice. It's not circumstance. It's not your upbringing. You know, I'm pursuing Jesus. I'm not pursuing experience. But I've come to find out in my pursuit of Him, I'm having some experiences. I've had some experiences. And they've been good. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've been drunk on the Holy Ghost. I've been stuck to the floor in the Holy Ghost. I've been in a trance in the Holy Ghost. And I can guarantee you this: when I got up off the floor, when I stopped speaking in tongues, when I came out of the trance, I loved Jesus more than I did before. It's not how high you jump when the Holy Spirit hits you, it's how straight you walk when your feet hit the floor. I know that there have been times when I've experienced the presence of God, and that manifest presence has changed me to the degree that what I could not do after I got slammed, I know that I've had some experiences with the Lord that I could do after I got slammed what I could not do before I got slammed. And it's difficult to tell people about it. It's difficult to talk about it because you start getting filled again. I worked in construction for 8 years, and you meet very interesting people in construction. And some of my construction brothers are in the house. So I loved it. I loved working outside. I never dreaded a day going. 105 or 40 below. I never dreaded. There's something free about being outside. But I met interesting people. And you meet people who have alcohol problems. And this guy told me one time that those guys that like to drink a lot of wine, we used to call them winos. I don't know what you call them in Sherman. It's because I know that they're no winos is good. I mean, they'd have a little bag with some Mad Dog 2020. Some Ripple, cheap wine. But I had this guy tell me one time, you know, if I've been drunk the night before, if I get up in the morning and just drink some water, it's just like that hits me again. Just hit me again. I like saying that. So what am I saying by that? Hydrate or die, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Stay in field is a choice. It's a choice that we make. It's a choice that we make. 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now I'm talking about stirring it up. I'm talking about your spiritual temperature. I'm talking about your thirst level. I'm talking about your level of dehydration. You know the reason that he's reminding Timothy about this? Watch this. I just saw this today. He said, Timothy, your grandmother had faith. Lois had faith. He said, your mother, Eunice, had faith. And I'm pretty sure that this faith is on the inside of you too. And then he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Well, what's he saying? Listen, this is multi-generational. Timothy, you sat in church. Your grandma was born again. Always went down to the church house. Then your mom got born again. She drugged you all the way down at the church house. You received Jesus as a little boy, and now you have to make sure that that's a real deal on the inside of you. It's a lifestyle, not just a past event, not just something you heard, but something you're hearing now by the living word of God that is a perpetual fellowship with him, that you're walking with him, you're listening to him, you're being led by him. This is a relationship. You don't have to go see him because he lives on the inside of you. And he is longing to manifest himself in your house. He said, look, if you believe me and you believe my word, my Father and I are going to come to your house and we're going to move in with you and we're going to fellowship with you. For this reason, I'm saying, Timothy, fan into a flame the thing that God put on the inside of you. That means to me that something in us can go out if we neglect it. Now watch this. This is the reason I'm saying it's by choice. You fan the flame, Timothy, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. In other words, if you want this, you can control yourself and you can put yourself in a position where you're going to receive from God. This is not about the devil's after you and you can't do it. This is not about you're too busy. This is not about the preaching's not interesting enough, the music's too loud. If you're hungry, every bitter thing is sweet. Self-control. You can control yourself. You don't have to pick up the remote and turn on Netflix and binge watch 6 hours of Bones. You don't have to do that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you binge watching Bones. You do that if you want to. There's no condemnation. I'm not trying to condemn you. I am trying to say this. We have so much time. And we choose. The remote doesn't just jump up in your hand and you go out and you wake up 6 minutes later with your finger on the Netflix button. That doesn't happen to you. If it does, we need some deliverance going on up in this house. You got a choice. Use your self-control. Use your power. Use your love for the Lord. I don't know if any of you have ever been camping. We grew up, this is Sherman, this is Texas. So all of you have been camping. I've got a Coleman stove, you know, you pump that dude up and light that. I've got a gas grill, you know, at home, you turn on that stuff and you hit that. I've got a brand new igniter, so it just takes one. But how many of you know there's a difference when you build an old-fashioned campfire or you have a wood stove? You don't have any of the gas lighter or anything like that. That's harder. And when he's saying you need to fan that gift God put on the inside of you into flame, you have to realize a fire has to be tended or it will go out. You've got to tend a fire. You've got to feed the fire. You've got to give it some room to breathe. Hallelujah. You say, well, you know, sometimes I do get sidetracked. Well, I like Matthew 12:20. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. A smoldering wick is a reference to the little candle. It's really more like a lantern. It's got a jar that you put oil in. And then the wick, you know, it's kind of like a string you put down in there, and it draws oil up from the vessel. And then it burns that oil off. And as long as there's oil in the vessel, it's burning bright. There's a flame on the end of that wick. But when the oil runs out, that flame goes out, and it's just that wick just starts to smoke. That's the sign. That smoking wick is the sign that somebody's out of oil. And the good news is, Jesus is not going to put out a smoking wick. You know what he's going to do? He's going to refill the vessel, and he's going to light a new fire. That's some fresh fire. That's some fresh fire. So, I'm going in for my first close. How then do we hydrate? How then do we stay full? 2 Peter 1:12, Peter says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. And the qualities he's talking about, you know, add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue brotherly love, and add to your brotherly affection, add love, the agape love of God. And he's saying, look, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. He's going to remind us of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these things. Watch this. Even though you know them and you're established in them. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. So I come to stir some people up tonight. I came to remind you about how good Jesus is. I came to remind you about the time that he set you free. I came to remind you about the time he healed your child. I came to remind you about the time he restored health to your body. I came to remind you of the time that he raised you from the dead. I came to remind you of the time that he paid the bills on time. I came to remind you of the time what he delivered you out of and what he delivered you into. I came to remind somebody to get you stirred up, to take hold of more of God, to press in for the more of God. He said, I'm going to stir you up by way of reminder. So how do we stir that fire up? How do we stir the gift up on the inside of us? You know, it's one of the reasons that Lisa and I keep a journal. Because if God really says something, I want to be able to go back and refresh it. I want to be able to go back and grab my journal and remember the time God did something supernatural. Woo. He goes on to say this, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. That's somebody right there. Peter had to have a really good relationship with Jesus for Jesus to be able to tell him, you're not long for this earth, Peter. You're coming to see me pretty soon. And that not to have freaked him out. Now watch this. He goes on to tell this bunch that he's going to remind, even though they already know it. He's going to make every effort so that after his departure, after his death, that you may be able to at any time recall these things. You've got to do that. You've got to think about it. You've got to think about it. Paul, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me, and it's safe for you. So, three things. You're going to stay stirred up. You're going to stay filled up. You're going to keep the fire flamed up high. Remember what God's done for you. Remember, if you will retell what God has done for you, you'll reactivate something on the inside of you. I know this might be extreme, but I'm still reading over the prophetic words that came two Jubilees ago. Because there was more prophetic activity 2 years ago than there was this past Jubilee. There was one main prophetic word that I recorded from last Jubilee, and that troublemaker Greg Moore gave us a prophecy. And you know, we've already seen some of that come to pass. You know, he was talking about testimonies coming out and CNN picking it up, all that, and you know, we have people raised from the dead, and you know, so some of that has already happened. But I'm still going back to refresh that on the inside of me, because when God speaks a word to me, that's important to me. Amen. That's important. When God speaks a word to this body, that's important to me. So I go back. I transcribe the words that I have spoken to me. Somebody let go and let God have his mind. You're going to stay stirred up. Apply what you learn. Oh, I've heard that. No, we can't go there. I'm going to apply what I learned. Now, there's so much word coming out of this house. You have to have the Holy Spirit grab a hold of you and say, okay, this is what I want you to apply this week. Or you'd be like this. Danger, Will Robinson. So you apply what the Holy Spirit, I don't know where that came from, 60s television. Apply what you've learned. Do something with what you're taught. And if you really want to get generous and be generational, teach somebody what you learned. Just, what do I mean by it? Just tell them, hey, this is what I saw in the Word. If they run off, they probably weren't the friend you need to be hanging around anyway. Find you somebody who will listen. Awesome. So, how hungry are you? How thirsty are you? You know, sometimes you just have to start talking about these things. You say, well, I feel a little weird about that. This doesn't feel like me. It's who you are on the inside. It's who you are on the inside. You're wall-to-wall Jesus. You're wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. You're full of the Word on the inside. It's in there. I get into this so I can pull up what's already in my spirit, and my mind can start to recognize it, and I can begin to talk about it. I can begin to speak about it. Lisa and I had an experience not too long ago. And we were together someplace, and we literally heard a sound. I mean, this sound was like a... It was like a rushing mighty wind, and a visible cloud began to fill the room. A waitress with a plate full of fajitas came right by my table. I could sense the glory. I mean, it was sizzling, Pastor. The aroma, I mean, the sweet savor of those grilled onions and the bell pepper. And the nectar of guacamole. I'm telling you, as she moved, the glory cloud moved with her. And I sensed something stirring on the inside of me. It was hunger. It was hunger. I began to stir up. You know, this tortilla soup is not looking good to me right now. Man, you get to talking about food. You get hungry. You get to talking about the Lord. You start to get hungry for the Lord. Amen. Woo! One. All in one place, in one accord. That's what Jubilee is to me. My expectations high. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. We're not going there to get filled up. We're filled up as a lifestyle. And we're going there to meet together, just having the explosion of faith where we are all coming together. We're all hungry. Because I know this, where he's invited, where he's wanted, he shows up. Where people are hungry, he hangs out. How does that all work? You know what? I don't know, and I don't particularly care if I ever get my theology right. I know I already have it all, and yet I still need it all. God's good. Amen. Amen.
For additional free CDs or a catalog of all our teaching messages, please contact Dwayne Sheriff Ministries, Post Office Box 427, Durant, Oklahoma 74701, or call us at 580-920-1791. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.